Welcome back to Spartan Up, the podcast. I am Sephra Alexandra Seed Huntress, here today at the site of a Bob Ross painting. Joe and the Colonel and Johnny are not with me. They're out social distance canoeing. But today we're bringing you a great interview from Logan Aldrich. At 13 years old, he lost his arm. What did he do with that adversity? He's done amazing things. He's created educational content and been a mentor to a ton of adaptive athletes. Just because you're facing adversity doesn't mean it has to control your destiny. So enjoy this episode and we'll have a chat after.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by 5-11, the official plate carrier sponsor of the 2020 Spartan Honor Series and Stadium Events. 511tactical.com.
Spartans, we are here for Spartan Up Podcast, and we have Logan Aldrich. Did I pronounce your name right?
Sure did. Thanks, Joe.
And the only thing that I know that's special about you as of right at this moment is, 20 certificates behind you on the wall. What are those certificates? Are you smart or something? What is that?
Oh, no, it's a very deceiving wall. This is just so I look good when I'm doing virtual meetings, so you all think I'm well-educated. No, I do. I mean, I've got a college degree. I went to college, 4-year degree in business, studied additive manufacturing and 3D printing. I've had some cool opportunities since my dive into adaptive fitness. I've been featured on some magazine covers, so I'm pretty fortunate and grateful to have the magazine kind of framed it and put it together for me. So just some fun stuff to remind me that things pay off when you work hard. So.
I don't see any Spartan medals back there.
There's not any back there. You'd be surprised. Those are all in a box.
So what happened? You lost your arm when you were 13 years old?
Yeah. And that's it. You know, I'm a dude just like every other dude in the world. Like, I'm nothing special, man. I'm a kid who lost his arm at 13 in a wakeboarding accident. I was growing up to become a professional wakeboarder. My parents were competitive skiers. And that was going to be my profession, my path. And unfortunately, an average training day, one little split second, I made a wrong decision. We were in the wrong situation. Blink of an eye, the rope's wrapped around my arm. The rope gets caught in the propeller of the boat. Next thing you know, the rope is causing a super tight tourniquet to happen above my elbow. And long story short, rushed to the hospital, weeks in the hospital trying to save the arm, doing all those sorts of things. I was left-handed as well, so doctors were really adamant to save my arm since it was the dominant arm. A couple weeks into the hospital, they were realizing that this rehabilitation process might take a really long time. My parents said, you know what? We know our son. He's really active. He cannot sit still for long. Let's go ahead and make this hard decision and just amputate. Let's just go ahead and amputate it. Let him accept the reality of the situation. No more of this false hope stuff. No more of this, well, you know, in a month we might be able to gain flexion in the elbow. Wouldn't that be cool? No, it was very, and I'm so grateful for that. It was my parents' decision. I was 13 years old. But they said, you know what? Let's remove it. Let's let him realize what the rest of his life's going to be like and move on. And that's what we did. And that's the attitude I've had amongst the whole thing.
What, let's just go. I mean, you're very nonchalant about it, but I don't think everybody listening or watching could be that nonchalant, or at least they don't think they can be.
It was detrimental. It was huge. It was the last thing I thought my life would look like. You know, I grew up in a very fortunate environment, went to a great private school, surrounded by so many supportive people in my community. Parents are super successful. My dad owns his own refrigeration company. Mom was in the mortgage industry and killing it. Things were great. I'm very, very fortunate and didn't have many hardships in my life. So when this happened, when this unfortunate random accident happened, and I was about to lose my arm at the young age of 13, hell yeah, it was devastating. I couldn't believe, like, literally when it was happening, I thought it was a nightmare. I thought it was a dream. Just telling my parents, like, we got off the boat onto our dock at our lake house. And I said, Dad, just bring me up to my room and I'll see myself and I'll wake up from this ridiculous nightmare and we can go train. Unfortunately, he brought me to my bed and I saw I wasn't there. And that's when I was like, oh, this is real. And I started to think about the reality of the situation. And in the ambulance, I say that to say, in the ambulance, my mom was with me. We're riding to the local hospital. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, what just happened? My arm is laying across my body and I can't feel it. That's weird. And what just happened? Like, I was just wakeboarding. We were about to eat dinner and now I'm in the ambulance. And I remember asking my mom, I said, Mom, you know, because all this blood came out of my arm, covered the whole boat in 5 seconds. I looked at my mom while we're in the ambulance. I said, Mom, what if I lose my arm? And without skipping a beat, and it's probably a motherly instinct, just kind of just a way for her to cope and deal with it. She just looks at me and says, Logan, it's just an arm. She didn't really say much after that. Those were her only words. But in that moment, I didn't realize the profoundness, the impact that is going to have on me later. But in the moment, it worked. In the moment, I said, well, damn, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is just an arm. I do have another one. This isn't the one that I would default to, but I do have another one. How convenient that our bodies have two of things. If I get rid of one, I can figure out how to use the other one. And that was literally immediately where my brain went. And I didn't know. We didn't know what the future was going to look like. But all that did, it's a little bit of vocabulary change. It's a little bit of semantics that makes you, in my opinion, psychologically recognize abundance. Recognize, like, be grateful and gratitude for things. The words, it's just an arm, is something that resonated deeply with me. Not just in the moment to accept this reality, but in the future, over the past, gosh, what's it been now, 15 years with one arm? All of the challenges, the hardships, the moments when I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, or this is just really driving me crazy. We're all human. We have those emotions. In those moments, it was easy for me to refer to that phrase, you know what, Logan? It's just an arm. Everyone has in their own mind a way to trigger that response. And it's just. And a 5-second rule, counting down backwards. You know, whatever it is for you. Saying to yourself, am I the type of person that, ... Whatever it is to you. We all have some sort of thing that has the ability, if we hone in and focus on it, to cause action, to have a trigger in our head and cause some action. So long-winded answer to say, I do say it. I lost my arm when I was 13. No big deal. I'm just me moving on and trying to be the dude that I was before. But I'm so fortunate about the community, the environment, the support group I had during an unfortunate, unexpected, tragic accident. And I don't think a lot of people have that group, that ability to feel uplifted and supported. And frankly, I think that's a reason why it's so cool to do things like these podcasts where we talk about resilience and grit and personal development and mindset, because there's more abundant resources for people to feel supported and encouraged now than ever.
I love it. I love the answer, because I talk a lot about changing your frame of reference. And it's very much the movie 300. The scene is they're in Thermopylae. By the way, this is the 2,500 year anniversary of that battle in Thermopylae. And they're holding off the Persians. And the Persians, the story goes, send over like 10,000 arrows. And it completely darkens the sky. And they are facing an impending death. How the fuck do you battle 10,000 arrows on their way to you? And one of the Spartans says, well, I guess we'll fight in the shade today. Right? And so it's really the way you frame things in your mind. Right? And so for me, when I'm suffering, and knock on wood, I haven't suffered like that, where I wrapped a rope around my arm. But I say to myself, well, it could be worse, right? Oh. I could be in Siberia. It could be snowing. It could be 135 degrees. It could. And when I can't find anything that's calming me down, I said, well, I could be dead. I'm not dead.
Absolutely. It's where we allow our minds to focus. Just that example with the arrows, and I guess we'll fight in the shade. It's a classic example of fixed versus growth mindset. You know, what can he could really control? He can't control arrows and whether it blacks out his vision and ability to see. But what he can control is his action and ability to fight, and what his team, what the group will do. And so I guess we will fight in the shade. It doesn't change the fact that we're going to fight. For me, it doesn't change the fact I'm going to be fit, and I'm going to try to do wakeboarding, obstacle course racing, you know, CrossFit, whatever it is that I find personally I'm into. The deterrent or the interest does not come or stem from having one arm and finding what I'm capable of doing. It's just things I'm interested in. and I'll figure out the rest later.
You know, everybody talks about this idea of ready, aim, fire. And I don't like it. I think it's archaic in the sense, you know, probably 100, 200 years ago, you and I are out on the battlefield and we had like a few bullets in our pouch and we had a bunch of gunpowder and it took us 3 minutes to load. Like, you did not want to mess up a shot. So you got to get ready. You got it, right? Or you're chopping down a tree. It's pretty hard to get an axe back then. So you measure, as Abe Lincoln would say, measure five times, cut once, or chop once, right? So, but today the world moves so fast, like, fire first, get ready, and then aim. Because otherwise you're sitting around thinking about stuff, talking yourself out of stuff, right? Over analysis paralysis.
I completely agree, and can recall numerous examples throughout my life, and really even in this past like 5 years in this fitness space, where that has absolutely been my ethos, my driving action into the things I've tried to do and I've been interested in. And I think you've witnessed too, with the growth of Spartan and within your organization, this community of adaptive athletes. There is no example, there is no template or way to say, okay, this is how it's done. That person did it, I can do it. Now, there is a ripple effect. There is this encouragement, inspiration of seeing someone complete an object, an obstacle, a task, a Spartan race, whatever, that has some sort of permanent impairment that is profound and inspiring and may have driven, you know, me or another guy or girl who has one arm and seeing somebody in a wheelchair to compete. But like, it's never been done before. So they're trying to really, like you said, I'm shooting first and then acting later. I'm using myself as a test dummy to see what I can and can't do, taking detailed notes and learning deliberately from it. But there's nobody to really reference. And so we have to invent a wheel that was never there before. And then
adjust along the way.
You'll see your platform empowers that sort of population to come in and have a new purpose or new opportunity that wasn't there before.
Spartans, we'll get right back to that episode in a minute. We want to take a short break and talk about this week's sponsor, 511 Tactical. 511 Tactical, that's a company I know well. That's a company that many military guys, hunters, outdoorsmen, anybody who's outside knows 511. If you can see me, and I hope you can, I got my 511 shirt on. I've got my 511 pants on. I went on a safari to South Africa a couple years. I loaded up. I went out back to Africa for some work. Again, I loaded up on the gear. It is phenomenal. It's the best gear out there for shirts, pants, anything tactical. But I tell you, for Spartans, a lot of you will want to get the 511 Tech plate carrier. And that's going to be incorporated into competitions at Spartan during the Honor Series and the stadium venues across the 2020 season. Look for the 511 pop-up tent at these events for the exclusive gear, the purchases, and the giveaways. The 511 will also host a Spartan workout tour at selected 511 retail stores. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by 511. The official plate carrier sponsor of the 2020 Spartan Honor Series and stadium events, 511tactical.com.
Supposedly you went from wakeboarding to lifting weights.
I went from wakeboarding, losing my arm, and saying, all right, I'm going to have one arm. This one arm is going to be bigger than any dude's two arms. It's going to be freaking huge. So bicep curls, tricep extensions. I was like, I'm going to be a freaking bodybuilder and just be massive. So that, yeah, you might see me have one arm, but that one arm's going to be jacked. I quickly realized that that wasn't the functionality sort of physique I was looking for. And frankly, I'm too ADHD, I guess you would say. I'm all over the place all the time. That when I started entertaining this idea of constantly varied functional fitness, running, lifting weights, all the mixed modalities, it was very appealing. And in college, I was just hanging out with my bros, lifting weights on the weekends. After college, I graduated and had a great job in corporate America and IT, and quickly realized how that can become your future. How all of a sudden, what you thought was the next step in your life, 10, 15 years later, you're sitting at the same desk. I saw that whole thing flash from my eyes, and I made the decision to the cliche of, you know, follow your passion, do what you're passionate about. and I left corporate America and I started a additive manufacturing consulting company. So 3D printing, it's all stuff I studied in college. And I understood its application in orthotics and prosthetics. So I implemented that into a lot of practices here in North Carolina. And then throughout that process, I was seeing all of the people I wanted to impact, but I was seeing them at the end of the road in terms of they've already had a medical complication or issue, amputation has occurred. Now I'm seeing them as they come in to get fitted for a tool to assist them with quality of life for the rest of their life. That's when the light bulb moment went off in my head. And I said, I am seeing what I thought was going to be people like me suffering an accident, doing something active. Not at all the case. 95% are from diabetes. This is all preventable if they understood the value of health, wellness, and activity. So the script really flipped for me when I thought additive manufacturing, 3D printing innovation was the solution in orthotic and prosthetic design. I realized that my true passion, the way I wanted to make an effect change, was before that happened. So in the fitness, in the health and wellness. So that's when I decided to use myself as a test subject, a guinea pig. And I would always, every day, I would make sure I learned something. I observed something about, I made sure that every day I read an article or studied some PubMed case study about either spinal cord injury or amputations and their ability to gait analysis or something. I wanted to learn something, not just relevant to upper extremity one-arm people, but to this bigger group of people that are being affected and how I can help and assist in the gym, in fitness. The biggest thing for me that I reiterate is quality of life. We all train for our own reasons. We wanna look good naked. We wanna be able to run on the beach with our kids, whatever it may be. For individuals with permanent impairments, i.e. adaptive athletes, we train for the most part, I can't speak for everyone, but for quality of life, for real world transference, you know, if I'm able to push something over my head with one arm, well, it makes it simple in life to balance and hold a box and carry that and put it up on a shelf. I'm more equipped to do so. So I started to have these light bulb moments where you realize the functional training is far more beneficial for somebody with impairment than it is just for saying, yes, it's functional. Oh, it'll help you in the real world. You got to squat to sit and stand and get off the toilet. It's all true, but man, you talk about a seated athlete, someone bound to a wheelchair who doesn't know how to transfer out of their wheelchair. If they do, they need help to get back in it. And you take them through training and through adaptive training, you make them realize that their burpee is the ability for them to get out of their wheelchair, lay on the ground, sit back up and get back into their wheelchair. You have drastically changed the quality of their life. Forget fitness, forget abs and biceps and all that crap. You have changed their life. And that, frankly, I tell this example all the time, still gives me goosebumps because I've watched it happen in my own gym. We watch it happen all over the world in functional fitness, and it attributes to opportunities that they can demonstrate their ability in Spartan races, in the Para World Championships that we have. So now we're highlighting and showcasing the high-functioning adaptive individuals. So those who have been sitting on the couch and, frankly, culturally, societally been told that's the way they should be, now they realize it's not, and then there's people out there that are charging and not accepting the expectation and making the change. So I say that to say thank you for being one of the leaders to provide the platform amongst Spartan. And frankly, my life's work and mission is not to get recognized for the things that I do in sport and athletics. It's not to be on this podcast and talk about what Logan can do or what Logan has accomplished in the past or wants to do in the future as an athlete, but it is absolutely about spreading the awareness and opportunity for adaptive education and training. That's where my heart lies. That's ultimately what my life's work has been leading up to as someone with one arm, speaking and trying to tell these motivational, inspirational stories. It's to realize that there shouldn't be some special case scenario for seeing me do a Spartan race with one arm when I do the rig. That should be normal. There should be no difference between an elite individual and an elite adaptive individual. That's my mission that I'm hoping to change in my lifetime. And if I don't do it in my lifetime, leave a legacy where people take this on to the next level. And that's why Adaptive Training Academy exists, to be an education platform. More trainers, coaches, and athletes are prepared for the inevitability when an adaptive athlete shows up at their facility or at their event or to their workout.
A lot of people, I mean, it's no different, really. Like, people, when we ask them around the globe, like, what do you need help with? Do you need help with community? Do you need help with motivation? Do you need help with fitness? By and large, everybody says, Joe, I need motivation. And so when I listen to you talk about changing an adaptive athlete's life, really what you're doing is you're showing them what's possible, yeah, right? Like you're stretching them, going down, doing a burpee, getting back in the chair. That's a stretch. That's something they didn't even think about, right? And right. So when we get somebody out on our course and they complete it and they're like, holy smokes, I didn't know I could do that. I felt good. I pushed my boundaries. I'm going to quit my job and start a business. I'm going to get back with my husband. I'm going to stop drinking, whatever it is. How do you think about motivation? How can we motivate people, you know, at scale?
I don't really know what that word even means to a lot of people, you know, and I don't know how you motivate other people. I think you tell stories, you show examples, and then you leave people the opportunity to find their why. Like, why would they need to be motivated? Like, I've spent the past 15 years as a professional motivational speaker, talking to audience ranging from business professionals, business owners, to five-year-old kids, the whole spectrum in between, from religious groups to sports teams. And the motivation part is never what I focus on when I speak. I just try to instill stories and a lot of truth. And I think there can be a ton of motivation from just hearing from hearing the harsh reality of people's stories. And sometimes a story that doesn't have a motivating factor can absolutely encourage someone to not be like that. So an unmotivating story can be very motivating. And I think at large, people just need to realize that we, as a global race, are far more capable than we believe. And that's an esoteric concept of pursue your potential. You have more than you think you can in the tank or whatever. But you've got to, what a perfect time. I don't know when this podcast will go live or be produced, but, you know, this whole moment of COVID-19, what a classic example of recognizing the way in which we as a global race should and could come together and how we are far more capable than we believe. Like, this is more of a motivating time than ever because of the pandemic. I think it's the most encouraging time we've ever been in. And we don't even get me started on the rabbit hole. Like, this is the greatest time we've ever lived. Like, this, the world is better than it's ever
been. Let's go down the rabbit hole. Is it true you could, like, not bench press, but what are you, deadlift 500 pounds?
Yeah, I could, yeah, deadlift that. I could put 200 overhead. Could squat clean 250.
But it's not like, they're not real weights, right? They're styrofoam.
What's the difference on a scale? Yeah.
500 pounds. How long did it take you to build up to that?
I don't know. It wasn't like a goal. It wasn't like, okay, that's what I'm going to go for. It was just, yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know. I mean, I weigh 160 pounds. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how I can deadlift 500 pounds, but.
You know what it might be? You tell me. The wrestling coach at Cornell is a buddy of mine. His dad was one of the first guys to land on Normandy Beach, World War II. Everybody on his boat died, didn't make it to the beach. He made it to the beach. And he's got a pretty gruesome story making it up that hill. There were lots of encounters. Lots of deaths. It was not him that died. He then, you know, World War II ends. He becomes a wrestler. And he never lost. He never got pinned. Yeah. And it was really a mindset. It wasn't physical prowess or physical literacy. It was like he would just go to that place in his mind on that beach. And he was unstoppable.
Right. Right.
So maybe that's what it is, right? Because physics would say you're not supposed to be able to lift 200 pounds over your head with one arm.
Right.
right? But you got a mindset that's probably a lot stronger than people with two arms.
Maybe so. You know, I don't know what you would call it. Maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe it's just a refusal to accept the expectation of others, but or just trying to prove people wrong. Maybe I'm a younger brother of an older brother who, you know, was very much the tough kid on me growing up, like gave me tough skin, which I'm very grateful for. But yeah, maybe I'm just trying to push a little bit harder than everyone else. I've got something to prove, maybe. I don't know.
But we go back to that motivating idea, that motivation. And I think that's what we're supposed to do. If we have that unstoppable ambition, which you had from 12 years old, 13, right? Your parents saw it. We're supposed to be the ones that are shining lights, I guess, and trying to inspire everybody else around us, right? Get everybody else moving.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What are you up to right now?
Oh my gosh. I was just about to ask you the same thing because I'm curious, because I've been so recluse over the past few weeks. I am fully dedicated since COVID happened to bringing the adaptive training education, something you and I talked about months ago, online, into an online course. I still can't believe that, you know, that's a story I want to mention on this podcast. You are such a people person, man. You freaking, I don't know how or why, but I had your cell phone number. Don't know how I got it. Like, we're not that close, but I had it. And I just called you one day. Like, I didn't set up a text or talk to, you know, probably your assistant or something. It was like 5 p.m. And I just called you. And you're like, hello? And I said, hey, you have no idea who this is, but I'm Logan. I do some races. I'm one-arm dude. And you're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of you doing some races. What's up? And you just – and I was like, do you have time? And you're like, yeah, what's up? And I told you – you let me talk for like 5 minutes, and I'm a talker, if you can't tell. I will talk for an hour.
I can't tell.
And you let me talk for like 5 minutes. Telling you all about Adaptive Training Academy and education and stuff. And you're like, yeah, let me get you put in touch with our guy. And you immediately texted me his number. I talked to Sam. Like, it was the coolest thing. And it
where
was
is, wait, where is Sam? Let's go find Sam right now. Here's Sam.
Sam's there at the farm.
Do you remember Logan?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Sam, hi. What's up, man? It's been quite a while. It's probably been almost a year since we chatted.
Yeah, got it. Do we have the program sorted out with him yet?
Oh, we're working on it. It's on pause.
No, it went on pause. This is all relevant, Joe. This is why I want to bring this up now. That's what I've been doing. Myself and my partner, Adaptive Training Academy, we're bringing all of our education online right now. I'm not sure when this podcast launches, but our course launches May 3rd. So beginning of May, it's live. It is available for trainers, therapists, everything in between. It's adaptive and inclusive training. So we teach you how to work with adaptive athletes one-on-one and in a group setting. If you don't have any previous experience, or you can work with adaptive athletes all the time. And what we would love to do, Joe, I wanted to mention this on the podcast, is talk about bringing this to Spartan Training within your platform for Spartan athletes amongst the Spartan continuing education programs to make sure athletes know how to conquer obstacles on the course and in life.
I love it.
Very excited about that. And I've been busting my ass to bring education, demonstration, examples, or the full spectrum from all forms of impairments, upper extremity, lower extremity, seated, intellectual disabilities, sensory. It's been really cool because I'll be the first to admit I don't know all that stuff, but we are able in this world of virtual meetings to connect with subject matter experts all over the world. And that's what we've been doing. I've been hosting these sort of meetings with individuals who work with everybody in sorts of different impairment groups, and they're contributing to this course. So it's the one-stop shop for all the education you need.
I love it. Well, where can people find you?
You can check us out, adaptivetrainingacademy.com. It's all about myself and my other seminar staff member. All of our education is on there. Ways to learn, this information is on there. I'm Logan Aldridge, so you can check me out on Instagram, Aldridge Logan, last name, first name. And I'll keep you up to date with what I'm doing. As soon as this quarantine's released, I'm coming and doing a DecaFit race. So stay tuned for that.
I love
it. Division coming there soon. I want to be the guy that helps make that happen.
You're absolutely awesome. Hey, let's get together soon. As soon as this thing's over, I'd love to see you. And let's pop out. Let's pop off the podcast. I want to introduce you to my kids. Maybe you can give them some motivation.
That was a great interview. And I really loved when Joe mentioned the story about the arrows flying through the air And then they go, the Spartans say, well, looks like we're fighting in the shade. You know, when you think of adaptability, it may shock you, but I go to my ecological analogies, right? I mean, the blue cohosh says, hey, we love this shade. The ginseng, that's some of the best medicine in the forest. Shade, or what some people think of as a lack, sometimes for other people is a larder, right? So there's always that opposite sides of the spectrum. And then if you think about our spring ephemerals, our trilliums, our trout lilies, our alliums, our ramps, right? Don't harvest those, they're going endangered. But if you think about it, they say, hey, this is our time to shine. This is the time when the sunshine comes down all the way to the forest floor, where at other parts of the year, once the leaves leaf out, then they're in the shade, they're in the canopy. So that's just a way to say, where's your niche? Where do you shine, right? How do you adapt and how do you overcome whatever the perceived challenge is? This guy has now helped so many lives and completely shift a paradigm around how adaptive athletes are training. And as they said, you know, working with Spartan and going in that direction, you can take, like we've seen so many times on this podcast, you take your challenges and it actually becomes your gift, and it becomes your greatest gift to the community. So right now, figure out what your gift is and contribute, and make sure that you subscribe. Follow us on YouTube or wherever you listen, and on Instagram at Spartan Up, and we'll see you next week. Blessings.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by 5-11, the official plate carrier sponsor of the 2020 Spartan Honor Series and Stadium Events. 511tactical.com.